You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back to part two of my conversation with Reverend Barbara Atzerah on You Can't Say That. What are you afraid of right now at 87?
Okay, that on Monday when I'm going to be operated on, I'm not going to have the success that most of the people I know had.
Okay.
I can't walk. I walk with a walk. I walk with a cane. It's not me. I live in a building with a swimming pool and a gym. I can't get there.
Mm.
So I don't want to live a limited life.
Okay.
And so that's what I would be afraid of. But in my 87 years, I've learned that fear doesn't change anything.
Mm.
Worry doesn't change anything. I try to soothe myself, give myself a hug, remind myself that everything is all right.
Are you going to be awake on twilight sleep for this surgery?
No, they do an epidural, you know, on the spine, and then they give you something to put you out. And my children are coming here. If Tonya, that you called me on Friday, today. Ross is coming to visit me Sunday. I have made such loving, beautiful contacts. You know, I am so blessed that why would I worry?
Mm.
And the truth is, whatever happens, it doesn't matter because I have a very deep connection with God. So if it's over, Portia Nelson, I'm sure you know her.
Yes. Life in six chapters. I love that.
Right. And Dalai Lama loves it. But I said to Ross, when I die, I want somebody to sing at my memorial, my life. This life, that song that she wrote about her life, you know, it just, life is life.
Mm.
It's also something else. I teach that when I was in heaven, I used to tell my little granddaughter this, you were rolling around, you had no body, you were listening to these wonderful music and everything, and you got bored. And you said, there's a little piece in me that could be updated. and think about this, and then think of lecture 73, Recreation of Childhood Hurts. We choose everything. Our mothers, our fathers, the beatings, the loss, everything. And we keep going through it until we realize this is not who I am. I am not the broken child. And I start loving myself. So I said to Samantha, why do you think you chose everything in your family? And she said, because I wanted you as my grandmother.
Mm.
She's a therapist. So she did get something from me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Tanya, let me tell you, Adriano died in June.
Last June, it's only been not even a year?
No, 2016.
Got it. Okay.
Two stories. I'm a storyteller.
Yes. You know?
And then I say, if you heard the story, raise your hand. But if you hear it again, you're going to hear it with different ears. But my oldest granddaughter, her partner died that November of brain cancer. He was 27 years old.
Mm.
So there was a lesson there. I, having lost my husband,
mm-hmm.
I could be there for her.
Mm.
That's why I'm living in Boca, because she said to me, Grandma, did you ever think of moving from California now? Mm. So everything has a reason. And opening up to death has been a great reason for me, you know. And like she said to me, she was so afraid she would never love again. Mm. I said, honey, once you know how to love, you'll fall in love with, I don't know, bizarre thing, but you will fall in love with that. And that's wonderful. And then the other thing is, when I was 80, we went to Europe. You know, Adriana was Italian and lived there. And we went for a long time visiting his friends, his family in France, in Italy. And I had taught in Serbia. And then I was meeting him in Rome. And I felt a lump in my breast and pain. And Adriano had just found out that he had cancer. So you know what I did? This sort of enlightened person, I never told him. I never told anybody. And when he died, I went into a store and I saw somebody's hair. The owner of the store had little ringlets, red, curly, and I hadn't been on the beauty parlor there. And I said, who does your hair? And she said, chemo. And I started to cry. Mm. And she said, Barbara, what's the matter? I never met her before. So my life is choreography by God. Mm. I believe that. And I said, because I never told anybody. Mm. And so she adopted me. Mm. And I met her surgeon and oncologist. And the doctor said it was a miracle to live with cancer for 3 years and have it not. So I know I'm blessed, you know, and actually, here's something for you. Sometimes I think that people have to think I'm crazy because I am so invested in the spiritual world. So my granddaughter introduced me to a man who brought the dead over. That's how my interest in death and dying really started. And he brought all my husbands back. And they talked to me. And I mean, such healing took place. I won't even go there. But at the end of the session, my first husband, who was a physician, said to me, I've got your back. Well, I thought he really had my back because my back hurt me. You know, I take things literally. So I went to the surgeon and he said to me, Barbara, you're very arrogant. And like I said to you before, I listened, you know, because what was he saying? And he was saying that I was contemptuous of medicine outside of New York City.
Good reason.
Yeah, and I said, my husband was head of his department at one of the biggest hospitals in the United States. We had the best doctors available to us. And now, excuse me, I'm in the asshole of a little town in California. And the doctor said, well, you really are contemptuous. And I said, I know, but I can't help it. Or I don't want to help it. I'm scared. I was worried then. And he said to me, and Dr. Boyle, because I want to give him credit for teaching me something. He said to me, well, what hospital? I said, it's on the East Coast. You wouldn't possibly know about it. And he said, I'm asking you, what hospital? And I said, Mount Sinai. And he said, and what was your husband's name? And I said, Dr. Gladman. And he said, Barbara, he was my mentor. Mm. So I don't doubt spirit anymore. Mm. I believe, except when I don't, that my life is in God's hands.
Have you decided how you want to die?
Yes.
Tell us.
Okay, you want to do it with me? No, I'm kidding.
Well, I do. I have made I have a contract with a friend to midwife her when she dies. Now, I don't know that I think she wants to die at 110. She's got a 110 and ascend plan, and I don't know that I want to be here for 120 and ascend for her.
Ooh, ooh. Well, this is what.
But we have practiced practice dying together because her desire is to consciously take the final breath. So I wondered if you have a plan. So how are you going to do it? Tell me.
Well, I am a breath teacher. Okay. You know,
and you did the breath work with, what's the guy who does the breath that can take you into psychedelic places? You worked with him too.
Yes. He was my teacher's teacher.
Okay.
Stan Grof, right. I was at the beginning of every dynamic healing thing. There is nothing new except you have to do it.
So, you know, you've lived through the process of here, take LSD, take acid, take this, do that. And now you've come to the place of like, we all have this personal responsibility for our own self-development.
That's all it is, you know, and make choices. Going to Brazil, everybody's doing ayahuasca. I don't know if you know about ayahuasca.
I've just came back from doing ayahuasca in Peru. This is my 9th time doing ayahuasca, so I do ayahuasca.
Okay. Block it. I don't want anybody to know. I did it with a shaman. I learned something. My intent was to find out why I am afraid, you know, on the deepest level.
Mm-hmm.
And what I went through was the concentration camp, the Buddhists immolating themselves, the Roman barbarians, time in Roman history, and the American Indians. Mm. I never knew anything about the March of Tears. And then when it was all over, it was so beautiful. But the next 2 days, oh my God, did it hurt me. My body was, you know, I just like I was letting go. And so after that, I would never do it again.
Really?
Yeah, it's not for me. I can tell you, I can sit in this gorgeous apartment in sunny Florida where I never thought I would be, listen to the Bet and Bowls, and just empty. You know, my meditations are now empty.
Mm.
You know, it's just empty.
Now, let me ask you this. You did Aya one time?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just share my Aya experience. I've done Aya 9 times.
Okay.
My first Aya experience, I said I just wanted to experience the love of the Great Mother.
Oh, beautiful.
And I had 2 cups. The medicine didn't even come on for me until everybody else was finished with ceremony. And I just had a blissful night.
Okay.
My second Aya ceremony, my intention was to know what was blocking me from reaching my highest potential.
Right.
And I had the kind of experience you had. I experienced being gang raped. I went through all of the most horrible things that people of all over the world have experienced. I lived it. And we had live music playing, and every note of every instrument was like a dagger. It was like I was being stabbed. And that was my whole night.
Oh, God.
And I didn't purge either of those 2 nights. My third night, I wanted to experience love. And or something about love. I don't remember exactly. But the third night was the night that I purged and I pissed myself. And I experienced myself as a naked, wet baby just crying and crying and crying for my mommy, for someone to come and help me. What I find about Aya is that I feel like it is like intensive psychotherapy. You go straight to your shit. And you get the opportunity to face it.
Right, because that's your intent, though.
Well, it is my intent. I go there to do that. I go there to work it out. I mean, I feel like the 9th session of Aya that I did in Peru, I feel like I moved a demon off my ancestral line. The ancestral line. I did a demon that had come down the line. I was doing battle with it. I was like, you are not continuing down my line. And after the session, something was like, well, you know, your children have to do their own battles. I'm like, they will have to do their battles, but I've done this part of the battle with this demon.
Mm. Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, that's profound. At the end of my session, you talked about the music.
Mm-hmm.
There was a violin. I can't tell you. I felt the string of the violin between my fingers. Mm-hmm. And then the person that was helping us, she came over to me and bent over to me, over me. And her hair, I never saw anything so beautiful. So I was very fortunate, but I really think for me, the breath work is what brought me home.
So let's talk about the breath work.
Okay. No, I want to go back to about dying.
Right. But you said you were going to breathe your way through dying. So what's your plan? How's it going to be? Have you picked an age? Like you're 87. How long you want to be here?
Okay. I tell people I don't want to live past 92.
Why?
I don't want to.
Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to know if there was a reason. You just picked 92. That's the number.
It's because my dad died at 92.
Okay.
And I respect the way he lived. And also, what is it? 87 to 92. I still count on my fingers. I'm so ashamed. But
you got 5 years.
What I want to do is really get all my work into like a 12-step program.
Okay.
You know, and that was a good question. It's just like, I'm reading all these books about dying, you know, Ram Dass and what's her name?
Tibetan Book of the Dead.
What?
Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Say that again.
The Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Oh, that I read a long time ago. But the idea is I'm not afraid to die. And many of the people I love are dead. Pat is dead. I can't wait to get to meet her. And it just seems right. I don't know.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So how's it going to be? Who's going to be there? How's it going to be?
Okay. It's not so much that yet. I haven't gotten to there yet.
Okay.
But I really want to do it. I want to close my eyes, put on beautiful music. I guess my children will be there.
Okay.
You know, because I think more God is going to be there, and Adriano is going to be there, and Bill is going to be there, and Shelley is going to be there, Pat's going to be there. I'm going to be surrounded by love, no matter how it is embodied.
Mm.
You know, and it's very funny because every night before I go to bed, I hang up my clothes and I put my dishes away because if I die, I don't want somebody to come and say, well, pink she was. You know, so I'm very human. I think that's the answer. I really had the experience of knowing, which is what Emmanuel teaches, and I'm so grateful. I am of angel consciousness. I have a soul that is eternal, and I'm living a very human life.
Mm.
Is perfectly imperfect. And that man, what's his name? Stuart Emery from Australia told me that in 1978. And it's taken me over 40 years. And that's why I say understanding is the booby prize. You've got to do it. Mm. So I practice going to bed. I say my mantra and whatever. And then I breathe God in. And I breathe fear out. Mm. I do that for a while. And then I breathe God in. And I breathe God out. And then I breathe love in. I breathe love out. And I don't breathe in again.
And that's how you're going to go.
I am praying. I don't know anybody that's done that. I mean, because most people get cancer, or they get this, or they're in a plane crash, or whatever. So that's what I'm doing. And I wrote a prayer recently, and it's in my love letter. I don't think you get my love letters, do you?
I get an email from you. I'm not certain if it's your love letters, but I do get an e-blast from you.
Okay, this is a love letter that I write every month about my life.
You're going to read a love letter to us right now.
Oh, what I was going to do is I was going to read you the prayer.
Okay, read us the prayer.
And I think the prayer encapsulates what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, so I breathe, quiet myself. See, I also, when I only work with people on Skype because they're all over, and I begin every session with prayer. So I'm going to do this one. It's fairly long.
Okay.
To the God in all of us, I offer myself this moment of silence so that I may enter into the deepest awareness. I breathe, and each breath I take moves me into a new spaciousness. I ask God that I fill this space with wonder and gratitude as I review my life and the circumstances that have brought me to this moment of now. Beyond my history, beyond my wounding, beyond my backstory, beyond my fear of separation, and beyond the human condition. As I enter this space of creative emptiness, I breathe deeply and freely. I invite my guides and my angels in so I may explore and embrace new understanding and dimensions of thought and feeling. In this emptiness, I wait. I breathe. I listen for the still point. When I am still, I can hear something new. It is the impulse of life. In great gratitude, I wait, letting it become open, breathing into every space in my body. Dear God, help me to empty myself so that I may be filled with you, so that I may bring awareness to my consciousness, that I may ask that this moment of life is filled with gratitude and love. I ask to fill myself with breath so I am aware of the in and out breath and what each one holds. Dear God, so that I may be aware of the God within me and the God without. Breathing in awareness, breathing out gratitude for this life. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Barbara.
Well, thank you. You know, I mean, maybe I wrote this just for you.
Maybe. Or maybe you wrote it for everyone who's going to listen.
And that's the whole thing. Somebody has to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have a lot of people that listen. I do not fill an auditorium with 1,000 people like some of these people do. Or people do not wait online. I laugh. There's one woman, Amma. All she does, they wait online and she gives them a hug.
I've gone to Amma.
Okay. I mean, you know, nothing outside of you will change you. But what I have found is that the people that are changing, I mean, I really even shouldn't say this, but, you know, one of the men that I'm working with is now writing his own songs based on our experience.
Mm.
You know, this life is powerful, but you have to be the essence of this life. So between Eva Pirakis and the Pathwork, there's one lecture, I forget the number. It's called The Pulse of Life. I want to be alive. I want to live. And if it doesn't work out, the next year something else will happen.
Yeah, it all came to pass. All this moving. This joy will be sadness. This sadness will be joy. It will all keep moving.
Look, I know you. I mean, you know me. I look around and these people that want instant love, you know, and constant love. It's not like that. It's like I live in Florida now, and it's really funny. It'll rain. It'll pour. It's terrible. And then 10 minutes later, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to remind people, no matter what the weather, sun is always in the sky.
Mm. And no matter what you're going through, it's going to pass. Good or bad, it's going to pass. Can't hold on to anything. Enjoy it as it's passing on to the next thing.
What more can you do?
Yeah.
The only thing I really teach people, because of the Pathwork and John Pirakis and bioenergetics, that when I'm having an emotional reaction because of something that you said or you did, I now have to train myself to stop, whether it's Byron Katie or somebody else. Is this true?
Hmm.
Like if you said to me, I can make it simple. I don't like your red hair. Look, I don't have red hair. You know, I don't get crazy. But if you said to me, oh, I think you're putting on weight, that could be a button pusher.
Mm.
So fear is about your imperfection, you know, and defending it, you know. And I know what I went through, and that's why I do respect the Pathwork, because that lecture, Recreation of Childhood Hurts, I came into this world, I'm not going to say it, to heal people, but I came into this world to learn how to love people. And I know my mother lost a child, and she was terrified of having another baby who was not going to be perfect. And that was my intention. But there's no such thing as perfection. And there's no such thing as being able to make another person happy.
Yeah.
And most of us, excuse me, many women have given ourselves away thinking we could get our happiness if we make you happy.
Yeah.
And your fear and your, why did your mother beat you? That had nothing to do with you, poor good old girl. It had only to do with your mother.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. I mean, I didn't hold any hatred or anything for her. I certainly didn't love her like a mother, and she's gone. And, you know, that's really the best gift she gave me, was that she didn't stay around for a long time and linger and have me have to spend another section of my life taking care of her. Cause I really had to be a parent
to her
as a child. Yeah. Yeah. So
I think this
that's
is
a gift.
Like such a big conversation, and maybe inappropriate to bring it up now, but so many men who are, so many men who were beaten as young boys and had no mother to protect them are the people that violate women today.
Hmm.
You know, and I think we're going to go into a whole new, somebody wrote a great book, and I can't think of the name of it. It's called something about passion that we haven't even begun to explore our sexuality.
Sexuality.
You know, and people laugh at me. Here I'm this little old lady walking around saying, you know.
My 80-year-old friends are telling me they're having better sex than I'm having.
Well, they're lucky. But I don't think they're lucky. I think it's because they know who they are. And that's what I'm finding out. All the people that I live with in Florida, I think they're dead. Mm. Their husbands died. And that's the end. It's not.
Mm-mm.
Right. And I'm red now, if you could see me.
You might get married again. You got 5 years left. You might marry another younger man.
Now, that's one of my disappointments. My second husband was 10 years younger than me. Adriana was 6 years younger than me. I didn't think consciously that's why I chose them. But I certainly was disappointed that I outlived them, let me tell you. You know? So yeah. There's so much, you know? I mean, I want to teach simply how we can transcend the level of consciousness that we inherited. Mm. You know, I'm not the victim. I love my life. And what I do with all my students is every day have them write one thing I'm grateful for. Whatever it is, a good cup of coffee, it doesn't matter. And this is hard. The one time every day I felt my choice of action was based on my habit and addiction to fear.
Mm.
And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And then the other one is, did I choose to be loving today? That's all I'm interested in. You know, we had a big luncheon for my first women's group. And they're all down here in Florida. And they're all in their 80s. And one of my friends was picking me up. I don't drive anymore. And she was picking up another one. That woman didn't show up. She forgot. And the driver had gone out of her way. And she was very angry. And I said, just breathe. Don't you know that this woman has begun her descent?
Mm.
That's all we can have is compassion. But Tonya, if you don't have it for yourself, you can't give it to anybody else. It's an act.
Well, I am grateful for you. And I want to thank you for taking this time to be with me today. I'm Tonya Pinkins, and you are listening to You Can't Say That with my guest, Barbara Azara.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Say That, the show where you can. I'm Tonya Pinkins, and You Can't Say That is part of the Broadway Podcast Network, produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Derek Gunther, with music by Kat Dale. If you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast highly wherever you stream. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Tonya Pinkins. And to learn more, visit bpn.fm/YCST. Stay safe.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.